Tonight, we're following several developing stories. Congressional Democrats are demanding answers. Did former President Trump compromise national security by keeping classified documents at Mar-a-Lago? But we do begin with the horrific scene in Pennsylvania. A car slams into a crowd at a fundraiser for victims of a tragic fire, killing one and injuring more than a dozen. The suspect then takes off, allegedly killing his mother at a second location. New trauma for a devastated community, what police are saying about the attack. Top Democrats push back on the former president's claims that he declassified the material at Mar-a-Lago. What's next in the investigation? Plus, the fallout from the search, armed protesters outside the FBI office in Phoenix, and new threats against agents. Mary Alice Parks and Aaron Katursky are standing by with the latest. Also tonight, a gunman opens fire on a bus near Jerusalem's Western Wall. At least five Americans are wounded, a pregnant woman shot in her stomach, her condition tonight, as well as her babies. The father shot as he protected his son. And what we're learning about the alleged gunman. Flooding fears. Parts of the country that are desperate for rain are now bracing for dangerous floods. Rob Marciano times it all out. Salman Rushdie recovering. The author now off a ventilator after the vicious stabbing. We speak with a second victim and new information about the suspect. Fleeing the fighting. Ukrainian families desperate to escape the battle near the country's largest nuclear plant. We're in Afghanistan 1 year after the Taliban takeover. Tonight, the youngest victims of this economic crisis. Every baby in this hospital is malnourished. Our Ian Pannell, who was there when the country fell, is back in Kabul again tonight. Demand is growing for the monkeypox vaccine, with New York City converting COVID vaccine sites to administer the vaccine for monkeypox. And America Strong, a mother and daughter reunited on the fire line.
From ABC News World Headquarters in New York, this is World News Tonight.
Good evening, everyone. Thanks so much for joining us on this Sunday. I'm Lindsay Davis. We begin tonight with another tragedy for a Pennsylvania community. A fundraiser for victims of a horrific house fire turns into a scene of carnage. At least one person is dead. More than a dozen are hurt, several of them critically, after a car plowed into a crowd outside of a bar. The victims were helping to raise money for a local family that was devastated by the loss of 10 family members in a house fire that we reported on earlier this month. Police say the suspect then drove to his mother's house and killed her, running her over with his car and then assaulting her with a hammer. Police arrested a 24-year-old man who they say confessed to both incidents. The community is still in mourning. The victims of that deadly fire range in age from 5 to 79. Several of those funerals took place this weekend. ABC's Phil Lipoff leads us off tonight.
Tonight, an horrific scene in northeastern Pennsylvania where family and friends had gathered to support the victims of a devastating fire.
Mass casualty incident, a vehicle into a crowd.
Just after 6 Saturday night, frantic calls to 911, a car plowing through a crowd of about 75 people outside this restaurant. When police arrived, they found 17 people injured, one dead.
Be advised, we're going to be around. We're the only ambulance in town. If you can, dispatch other units.
Police say the car, a blue Honda sedan, is seen on surveillance video accelerating into the restaurant parking lot before speeding off. Just 6 minutes later, another call from a neighboring town. Police say they found 56-year-old Rosa Reyes dead. They say she had been hit by a car and assaulted with a hammer. The medical examiner telling ABC News she is the mother of 24-year-old Adrian Oswaldo Sora Reyes, now under arrest and charged with both attacks, two counts of criminal homicide.
Residential structure fire, multiple people entrapped.
This new tragedy following that deadly fire in the same area, tearing through this single-family home. According to state police, 7 adults and 3 children died in the flames. Harold Baker, one of the first on the scene, a volunteer firefighter and related to 14 people in that burning home.
I lost my son, my daughter, my grandson, 2 other grandkids that it's in there, my father-in-law and my brother-in-law, all lost, and my sister-in-law, all lost.
Now, additional trauma, as more of his friends and relatives were in that crowd hit by the car, just days after he lost so much in the fire. And police say Sora Reyes confessed to driving into that crowd and killing his mother. Police say when they asked him why he did it, he said he was frustrated, tired of arguing with his mother, especially about money. Lindsay?
So tragic, Phil. Thank you. Tonight, there are growing calls from Democrats for an intelligence review in the wake of the FBI raid on former President Trump's Mar-a-Lago home. Today, Congressman Adam Schiff said that he and other leaders are still waiting for a response from intelligence officials to their request for a damage assessment. And this weekend, protesters, some of them armed, gathered outside of the FBI's Phoenix office as the DHS and FBI now warn about threats to law enforcement. Aaron Kotarski will break it all down for us in just a moment. But first, here's ABC's Mary Alice Parks in Washington tonight.
Tonight, Democratic lawmakers worried about the security implications of highly classified intelligence that had been sitting at Mar-a-Lago, asking the Director of National Intelligence for a damage assessment.
Some of those documents were marked top secret, sensitive compartmented information. That is among the highest designation in terms of the extremely grave damage to national security that could be done if it were disclosed.
The search warrant and accompanying documents made public by a federal judge showing FBI agents were looking for evidence of three potential crimes, including obstruction of justice and violations of the Espionage Act. Former President Trump has not been charged, the FBI Monday seizing 11 sets of classified documents from the former president's residence, including one set marked top secret SCI, a classification reserved for some of the nation's most sensitive intelligence. Immediately after the FBI executed that unprecedented search warrant, before the details were unsealed, many Republicans were quick to call foul, blasting the Department of Justice and law enforcement, accusing them of overreach and bias.
This is Gestapo crap, and it will not stand.
The FBI raid of President Trump is a complete abuse and overreach of its authority.
Now, the FBI increasingly worried about threats aimed at law enforcement. Experts speculating the man who stormed an FBI building in Ohio last week could well have been motivated by the finger pointing.
There is no doubt that what happened at Mar-a-Lago this week, and really not the action itself of a search warrant being executed, but the way Trump framed it, the way Republican officials framed it, that was a trigger for him.
And yesterday, a small group of Trump supporters gathered outside the FBI office in Phoenix, some of them armed. A handful of Republicans this week publicly criticizing members of their own party, calling for calm and patience.
I think everybody needs to be calling for calm, everybody across the board, and everybody needs to respect our law enforcement, whether they be local, state, or federal.
Maryland's Republican Governor Larry Hogan telling ABC's Jonathan Carl that he thought DOJ's move to unseal the warrant was a step in the right direction for transparency.
Anytime you're being investigated for espionage and obstruction of justice, that's very serious. I mean,
especially if you happen to be a former president. I mean, this is unprecedented. How could they do this?
It's
absolutely
unprecedented.
The DOJ seems to be in uncharted territory here. Mary Alice Parks joins us now. And Mary Alice, any word from Democrats about the timing on that damage assessment? And it sounds like Republicans also want their own briefing about what led to the search warrant.
Lindsay, Chairman Adam Schiff said that he had not heard back on his request yet today, but that he was confident that the intelligence community would do a damage assessment about the ramifications of these documents seeming to be mishandled. And yet, Republicans want more information from the Justice Department about why they sought this search warrant right now. Was there evidence that made this urgent? But it is unclear if the Justice Department will volunteer information like that. Lindsay.
Mary Alice, thank you. Let's get straight to ABC senior investigative reporter Aaron Kotarski for more on the search and the fallout. Aaron, what's the most concerning here in terms of national security?
Lindsay, the point of classifying records is really to keep them from being seen by America's adversaries. And here there were documents of varying levels of classification, including some that were deemed so sensitive they're only meant to be viewed in a secure location. We know the FBI reviewed security camera footage from the former president's estate, and what they saw on that video may have raised concerns about who had access to this material that shouldn't have.
And one more quick question before you go, Aaron. Where does the investigation go from here?
There are multiple directions for this investigation, Lindsay. I think two of them that are pretty interesting from the intelligence community's point of view. They want to know whether any of the material removed from the White House and brought to former President Trump's house has been compromised in any way. And then the FBI is working to determine who removed it and whether that constituted a crime. Lindsay.
Aaron, thank you. Overseas tonight, eight people were hurt, at least five of them Americans, when shots were fired toward a bus in the old city of Jerusalem. Israeli police say a Palestinian suspect did turn himself in. More now from ABC's Inez de la Quintara.
Tonight, Americans among the injured after authorities say a gunman opened fire on a bus near Jerusalem's Western Wall.
At 1:24 a.m., when I got to the scene, I saw a few people lying on the floor in critical condition. Three of them were in critical condition.
The U.S. Embassy in Jerusalem says at least five Americans are among the eight wounded, including a father and son from New York City.
He bent down over his family to protect them. He was shot in the neck, but it looks like his condition is improving. His son was shot in the arm as he protected his son.
A pregnant woman shot in the stomach. Doctors performing an emergency delivery. Her baby now in serious but stable condition. Investigators say the Palestinian suspect, armed with a handgun, also fired at a car and pedestrians, later turning himself in. The attack comes just a week after a ceasefire ended some of the worst fighting in the region in a year. Israeli airstrikes killing 49 Palestinians, including 17 children. And the Islamic Jihad militant group firing more than 1,000 rockets at Israel.
And the State Department saying U.S. officials are in touch with the families of the American victims. Investigators saying that they believe for now that the suspect acted alone and that he is not affiliated with any of the groups in Gaza that are praising the attack. Lindsay.
Inez, thank you. Back here at home, parts of the country suffering under severe drought are now facing a flash flood threat. Flood watches are in effect for more than 9 million Americans from Arizona to Wyoming. These images coming in from Utah. Let's get straight to ABC senior meteorologist Rob Marciano. Rob, time this all out for us.
Well, hey, Lindsay, as much as we have the drought in the West, we don't want this rain all at once. We're certainly getting it. I want to go to Texas first. That's where they badly need some rain. They got a lot of it today. Corpus Christi getting over a half a foot. This had a chance of becoming a tropical system. You kind of see the spiral there, the circulation that heads towards Laredo. It'll fall apart, but it will bring more additional moisture, maybe another 3 to 6 inches of rainfall over the Rio Grande and points to the north. Flash flood watches remain up across the desert southwest, the Intermountain West, and in through Wyoming. We've got another warning, a number of warnings that are ongoing in California and Arizona, Nevada, and Colorado as well. This active monsoon flow will continue for the next couple of weeks. Lindsay.
These weather extremes continue. Rob, thank you. Next tonight, author Salman Rushdie is still in critical condition, but now off of a ventilator and able to say a few words. And tonight, the other man wounded in Friday's knife attack is now speaking out about what he saw. ABC's Mola Lange is in Erie, Pennsylvania.
Tonight, the family of Salman Rushdie say they are relieved that the famed author is off a ventilator and able to speak. After being stabbed on stage Friday, his son Zafar writing, "Though his life-changing injuries are severe, his usual feisty and defiant sense of humor remains intact." Authorities say the 75-year-old Rushdie was about to speak at the Chautauqua Institution when 24-year-old Hadi Mutar rushed the stage, stabbing him at least 10 times. Rushdie suffering severed nerves in his arm, a punctured liver, and is likely to lose an eye. Also injured Henry Reese, who was on stage when the attack happened.
I mean, clearly the attack had some motivation.
Prosecutors say Mutar got an advance pass to the event, arriving a day before, carrying a fake driver's license. Investigators calling the attack an assassination attempt by an individual with strong indicators of ideological support for the Iranian regime.
Certainly, if there's anybody that's an emblem of standing up to fear, he's it.
Rushdie's 1988 novel, The Satanic Verses, set off a firestorm in the Islamic world and death threats from the Ayatollah. Some Iranian media praising the attack Sunday, one paper calling it divine revenge.
Well, investigators do not know at this point to what extent the Ayatollah's prior calls to assassinate Rushdie played as a motivating factor in this attack, but investigators are still trying to determine whether this attacker acted alone, Lindsay.
Yeah, critical to make that determination. Mola, thank you. We turn now to Ukraine and the exodus from the area near the country's largest nuclear plant. Families with small children, part of a convoy of vehicles fleeing the fighting as shelling intensifies around the plant. Crews are using handheld devices to monitor radiation after renewed fears of a nuclear catastrophe. Tonight, the White House is blasting a just-released Republican report on the U.S. pullout from Afghanistan. Republicans blame bad decision-making and poor planning for the deaths of 13 Americans in Kabul last year. It's been nearly a year since the fall of Kabul to the Taliban. The country is now in crisis. More than half of the families are going hungry. ABC's chief foreign correspondent Ian Pannell was in Afghanistan when the Taliban took over, and he's back again tonight.
Tonight, almost 1 year since the Taliban takeover of Afghanistan, warning signs that the country is in economic freefall. The World Food Program feeding around half the population, with more than 90% of households going hungry. The UN now warning poverty rates could hit 97% by the end of the year, with the most vulnerable at greatest risk. We visited a hospital in Kabul, where every single baby in this ward is malnourished, many two to a bed.
We've just come inside the main maternity and children's hospital inside Kabul. Bear in mind that this is the best funded, the best equipped hospital of its kind in Afghanistan. And even here, the need is overwhelming.
Aisha has five children. Ali is her youngest, and he's severely malnourished. Aisha says life is very hard. They have no food at home, and her children are crying. We were on the ground when US troops withdrew from Afghanistan last August and witnessed the chaotic and desperate scenes at the airport as tens of thousands of people tried to escape, some even clinging on to US military planes. Today, the very militants America spent 20 years fighting are now in charge. And it's their fighters driving the pickups, manning checkpoints, some even carrying American-made weapons. And they're enforcing draconian rules. Many women once again banned from the workplace. Millions of girls again blocked from school. These brave women protesting this weekend, calling for bread and freedom. Met with brutality by the Taliban, firing over their heads. At the same time, Foreign Ministry spokesman Abdul Kahar Balki insisting women and girls are being treated fairly.
We have been through 4 decades of conflict. And the priority of the West is having women being represented at different levels. And what we're advocating and asking for is a level of understanding and respect for the priorities of the state of Afghanistan.
But those priorities are overwhelming a government without experience, money, and sometimes motive to meet the needs of this new Afghanistan.
Lindsay, the Taliban are calling tomorrow Victory Day, celebrating what they see as their victory over America. But for many Afghans, it's going to be a day of mourning, the return of restrictions, hunger and desperation. Lindsay?
Ian, we still appreciate your reporting. Less than 2 weeks after House Speaker Nancy Pelosi's visit to Taiwan, a bipartisan congressional delegation has also made the trip. The group is meeting with Taiwan's president and senior leaders. And there's so much more ahead on World News this Sunday, including why Michigan's governor declared a state of emergency in 4 counties.
This show is sponsored by BetterHelp. Have you ever wondered what you'd do with an extra hour in your day? Would you go for a run, take a nap, read a book? Or maybe show up for a friend. We often find ourselves wishing for more time, but the real question is, time for what? If time was unlimited, how would you use it? The key to squeezing that special thing into your schedule is knowing what's truly important to you and making it a priority. That's where therapy comes in. It's not just about dealing with problems, it's about finding what matters to you so you can do more of it. If you've tried therapy, you know how beneficial it can be. Therapy isn't just for those who've experienced major trauma. It's a tool for learning positive coping skills, setting boundaries, and empowering yourself to be the best version of you. And if you're thinking of starting therapy, why not give BetterHelp a try? It's entirely online, designed to be convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule. Just fill out a brief questionnaire and get matched with a licensed therapist. And the best part? You can switch therapists at any time at no additional charge. So whether it's finding that extra hour for yourself or embarking on a journey of self-discovery, therapy can be a game changer. Take the first step with BetterHelp and make your mental health a priority. Learn to make time for what makes you happy with BetterHelp. Visit BetterHelp.com/tonight to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/tonight.
We've got the exclusive view behind the table. Every day, right after the show, while the topics are still hot, the ladies go deeper into the moments that make the view, the view. The Views Behind the Table podcast. Listen wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey, I'm Andy Mitchell, a New York Times bestselling author.
And I'm Sabrina Kohlberg, a morning television producer. We're moms of toddlers and best friends of 20 years.
And we both love to talk about being parents, yes, but also pop culture.
So we're combining our two interests by talking to celebrities, writers, and fellow scholars of TV and movies.
Cinema, really.
About what we all can learn from the fictional moms we love to watch.
From ABC Audio and Good Morning America, Pop Culture Moms is out now wherever you listen to podcasts.
Tonight, Michigan Governor Gretchen Whitmer has declared a state of emergency in four counties north of Detroit because of concerns about the safety of drinking water. There was a water main break yesterday near a treatment facility on Lake Huron. More than 130,000 people in those counties are being told to boil their water. To the index now, mourning in Egypt tonight after a fire tore through a Coptic Christian church in Cairo. At least 41 worshipers were killed, including at least 15 children. Some were killed by the smoke, others were crushed in a stampede. Police believe the fire may have started with an electrical short circuit. Tonight, New York City is stepping up efforts to get the monkeypox outbreak under control. It's closing 10 COVID vaccination sites for young children and converting some of them to administer the monkeypox vaccine. Yesterday, the city made 9,000 new appointments for the vaccine. All were booked within 2 hours. Finally tonight, America Strong, a family reunion in a most unlikely place. From a little girl, Katie Bennett has wanted to be just like her mom.
She's always been my biggest idol. Like, I've always looked up to her and be like, yeah, I want to be like her.
Her mother, Captain Bonnie Rogers, became the first female firefighter at the Benton County Fire in Washington in 2010. A single mother with three daughters, Katie is the youngest.
I didn't want to push her into something that she wasn't truly passionate about. You know, just because it's right for me, I didn't know if it would be right for her. And it absolutely is, because she just glows when she talks about fire and EMS.
From dressing up as a firefighter for Halloween to taking pictures in front of the Benton 4 rig on prom night, Katie was also there to help pin her mother when she was promoted to captain. So after high school graduation last year, Katie went straight into firefighting training, now working as a full-fledged firefighter for Washington State. When the Cow Canyon wildfire broke out earlier this month, this mother-daughter duo were called to duty.
I get a text from her and she says, I'm headed your way.
And then I heard Katie laugh. I was like, oh my gosh, that's Katie.
The two briefly stopping to take this picture to mark the occasion. This mother and daughter don't just share the same profession and passion. They both do it with the hope that in the process, they're helping to blaze a new trail.
I want to be a positive impact for little girls everywhere to know that they can be exactly where I'm standing.
Like mother, like daughter. Thanks so much for watching. I'm Lindsay Davis. Good night.